Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Playing for your Cleveland Plain dealers and your Cleveland.com, so you can play on two teams at once. He's that good. Number seven, Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy.
What's up, boy?
What's your number, Hoynesy?
Hoynesy.
Well, I don't know. I'm like seven. I'll take seven. Kenny Lofton was seven. I'll do that.
I was thinking of a good number for you. I was 14 might not have been a bad number either.
14, Mick. 14's not bad.
Mickey.
Did you have a number? You probably played high school football, right?
No. I kept getting cut when I went out for high school football.
Well, at least you were good at something.
Well, that's debatable.
Rejection.
That's exactly right.
Me and you both, brother. How about that win last night? Nice win for the Guardians to be able to go to Detroit, a team that they're trailing, and nice way to kind of start this this long weekend here.
Yeah, definitely. They really needed that win. A tough start to the road trip in Cincinnati. They got waterlogged in Minneapolis, managed to split two games there. But coming into Detroit with the Tigers rolling and the Guardians facing a six-game deficit, that was a big win, definitely.
Hoynesy, before I get back to things, I got to throw this out at you. You ready to feel old? It made me feel old. I received a text today from a mutual acquaintance of ours who said, Rick Manning made his major league debut on this date 50 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Can you even imagine? I couldn't believe it.
That's God almighty.
I know. That's what I thought.
I'm old, man. I don't know, Jeff.
Hoynesy, I couldn't believe. I could not believe it when I saw that. Hey, Lane Thomas was back last night. He was in center field. Great. I would assume he's going to be in center field. Which one of the 14 guys who is on the roster to play right field is the guy that you want?
That's a great question. I would really like to see John Kenzie Noel get some at bats. I think he's just been put in an impossible position here. And I thought maybe when Lane Thomas was coming back that he would be sent down, but unfortunately, Will Brennan, has the forearm problem. He was on they put him on the IL, but right now, maybe their best right fielder is playing the infield for him Angel Martinez. I'd like to see Angel in right field if that's the way this thing works out. But he's been playing second base lately.
And I don't mind that, Hoynesy. It's interesting that you say John Kenzie, because I'm thinking Nolan Jones for the same reason that you are. It's you're not getting anybody a whole lot of at-bats out there, and I'm afraid that they're going to miss out on something. If one of these guys can settle in, they might have something. And Chase DeLauder might be on his way. Cephas might be on his way. And I wonder, man, I hope you don't make a decision here that comes back to bite you.
Yeah, and it just, Stephen Vogt's philosophy of playing everybody on the roster, and getting everybody in, not having really an established bench or not really, having three or four regular guys in the lineup and everybody else is playing musical chairs. I mean, it's interesting. It's worked. It worked last year. They have a winning record right now. But, Jeff, what you said is, I think, makes a lot of sense, that you run the risk of burying a guy and then perhaps losing him. And do we know if Jones is a regular guy, is an everyday guy? I don't. Do we know if Noel can play every day? No. I mean, and it's really, and at times it's not even a platoon, because, Jones will start against a lefty. Noel, won't start against a lefty. I'm not sure exactly, exactly how they formulate that plan.
Hoynesy, are you hearing rumblings? You know, we keep talking about the minor leaguers here lately, and we've got some guys that can hit down there. Are you hearing rumblings about maybe pushing these guys up a little bit? I know the Travis Bezonum news was kind of a bummer earlier this week, but, I mean, they're, like Jeff said, C.J. Cephas is just tearing the cover off the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a first baseman by trade. They're playing him in the outfield. They just promoted him to AAA. I by the track record of this front office, you know, they don't move their prospects really, really quickly. And, you know, I would think Cephas, you know, starts at AA. He's at AAA now. I know he's hitting really well. But do you bring this guy up here and do you say, okay, save the season? I don't think so. I mean, just think back. Lindor, they took Lindor like 4.5 years to get to the big leagues. And now you're going to push this kid back, Cephas, you know, through AA, through to AAA, and all of a sudden he's in the big leagues before the All-Star break? I can't see it.
Yep, I'm good with it. Bring him up.
He's Andy's guy. He's all over him.
The numbers make me want to bring him up here. I've had guys talking to me about him since he was at Lake County. So they're like, that. You know, I know everyone has their eyes on Travis, but you probably should be looking at him. That's why.
And, you know, he had a good spring. You know, he swings the bat well. I like him, but, you know, what kind of power does he hit for, Andy? It seemed like there wasn't a whole lot of pop there.
Mm. I don't know. I'm okay with guys getting on base. They don't all hit them all over the wall, but that's okay.
No, you're right there. No, I won't argue with you there, but it just seems to go against their philosophy. But
makes sense.
Who knows? I mean, maybe if the season bottoms out, you know, and they go that way, you know, that I could see that. But right now, I think they just have a track record of being really careful with their young guys.
Absolutely. But it was funny because Jeff and I were saying yesterday, we were like, well, where would you make room for him? And then we got into this whole conversation about maybe Carlos Santana could be trade bait here throughout the race. And then what did we do? I mean,
And he's hitting well now.
And we must have powered him last night. We must have, you know, he hits a 2-run double, and, you know, we must be helping out his game.
Had a couple of home runs against Minnesota.
All we have to do is talk about trading somebody and they start playing better. It's crazy.
Their antenna is up here.
That's true.
Hoynesy, you think they're thinking that Carlos is their first baseman for this year? Or do you think they're thinking we can't wait till somebody else is ready to go and they, you know, whether it be Cephas or you play John Kenzie there or Nolan Jones or here comes David Fry, he's going to DH and take some at-bats away from Manzardo. It just seems as if Carlos, though hitting well now, is the guy that you think you might be in the way of other guys getting an opportunity to show they can really play.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point, and I think a lot of it will depend on the standings, you know, how they're doing, and, you know, are they in contention, are they not in contention? Because if you're in contention, I think you got to keep Santana.
I would think so, too, especially the way he's hitting now, which, of course, makes him more valuable to other teams. So we'll see how that one plays out. The Emmanuel Clase issues seem to have gone away, Hoynesy. What have you seen from Emmanuel lately, and where is your mind on him?
Yeah, I think he's settled in. They just haven't had a whole lot of save situations, it seems like, right? I mean, he hasn't pitched in a lot of leverage situations, but in talking to him, he says his shoulder is good now that he's over that. He seems to have settled back into, being the closer. So I don't think they don't have the concerns aren't as high as they were, you know, early in the season. But we haven't seen him for an extended stretch of time like last season where he saved three games in a row or made three saves in a row, that kind of thing, pitched 4 out of 6 days. We just haven't seen that. Lately, they've been struggling just to get him some work.
How important is this series? People coming up to me left and right, they're like, oh, they were only a game and a half back, but now they're slipping. And I'm just like, it's really early, guys. It's still May. You just need to be in striking distance when you start hitting the last 2 months of the season. But is this an important series?
I think it is, Andy. I really do. I mean, well, they're not going to get swept now, but if you get swept, you know, you're 10 games out. You're 10 games out in May or – 10 games out is 10 games out. That's a long way to come back. So that's not going to happen. But I think this is an important series just to, you know, just to kind of get a feel for where the Tigers are and how real the Tigers are. And that's a good team. They got better over the winter.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
So, I think it's a big series. If you come out of here with a split, maybe win the series, I mean, that has to help them.
Hoynesy, I think going into the season, everybody thought Gabe Arias was on the team because he was out of options. And he's done a really nice job. Has he done a nice enough job that you think the team thinks he might be the starting shortstop of the future?
Well, I think, you know, maybe right now he is, Jeff. I'm not sure. He's kind of he has had a good, a really kind of a solid season, a good start to the season.
Yeah.
You like the way he plays shortstop, but I'd like to see a little more offense from him. But he showed it in the first month or so, first 6-7 weeks of it. But he's kind of it looks like he's kind of slowed down a little bit now. But yeah, I would think the way Vogt uses these guys, I would think he's going to be on this team as a middle infielder somewhere, second base, shortstop. Definitely.
I know it's still, we're heading towards June, and the things that you've seen on this team, kind of fill in the blank on this. The Guardians will have success this year if this comes to fruition. How's that sound?
I think they will have success if their run differential ever gets into a positive category. Right now they're a negative 10 with run differential. I still don't understand how they're tied for second place with when you've scored 10 fewer runs than you've allowed, and the Tigers are a plus 78 run differential. The only other team in the division with a negative run differential is the White Sox. So it's just a weird stat, but
maybe they should put the diff on the scoreboard at baseball, huh?
Yeah, I mean their offense has to improve, Andy. They have to be more consistent and do a better job with runners in scoring position.
Do they have the talent to do that, Hoynesy?
Last year at this time, I was kind of asking myself, how did they get to where they were?
Me too, Paul.
And it's the same feeling this year because, outside of Ramirez and Kwan and, sometimes Santana, they get a little production from Manzardo. Where does the offense come from on this team? Their pitching is decent. The rotation is improving. I really like the way the rotation is pitched. Bobby pitched great last night, and they've had a string of about 30 really good decent starts. But offensively, they just seem to be missing a bat to me. And I don't know if Lane Thomas comes back, and we see the Lane Thomas we saw in September, if that helps. But right now they're a little short offensively to me.
Hoynesy, tell me about tonight's guy, because I watched him pitch his last start, and I like Slade Ciccone.
Oh, Hoynesy, I was going to say, I was going to cut Andy off.
Yeah.
Excuse me while I wipe up the drool coming out of Andy's mouth talking about Slade.
I just think it's cool. If I had another kid, I would name him Slade just because I think the name is so cool. My kid did wear 44, so he's got that going for him. But I thought he looked really good in that last start, and the hits that he gave up were like off the end of the bat. And I'm rooting for this guy. You tell me a little bit more about Slade Ciccone, and then we get to see him again. Now I hope he doesn't get blown up tonight, because then I'm just gonna have to walk into work on Monday and be like, oh, I was so wrong.
No, he really pitched well against Cincinnati. What, 5 innings?
Yep.
3 runs, 5 hits. He strikes out what, a career high 8 through 77 pitches, and he was like, he maxed out at 98, the range between it was 98 to 77 miles an hour, threw all his pitches, he was a kind of a revelation to me because we really hadn't seen him. You know, he got hurt early in camp. He was out with the oblique injury, then really didn't pitch and had, you know, four starts at AAA, rehab starts. What he did against the Reds was really encouraging.
Paul Hoynes joining us, covers the Guardians for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Hoynesy, it's kind of been this figure out floating in the background to me on this season, and it's Shane Bieber. Last year when they brought in Matthew Boyd, there seemed to be a pretty definite, okay, we hope he's with us and good to go in August. That's what we're looking for. Is there any timetable that you've been able to figure out exactly on when Bieber might be able to contribute at the major league level?
Just from talking to Carl Willis in Cincinnati, he said they've laid out a program for Bieber, kind of a schedule. It sounds like he's going to start pitching, rehab games, perhaps in the next week or 2 weeks. And I would think, I think Boyd made like 8 rehab starts, starting at the Arizona Complex League and working up to AAA. And I would think, Bieber would probably follow that same pattern. So maybe sometime in July or late June, we see him back in Cleveland. If everything goes well and there's no setbacks. Now, that's just me. Yeah. I have no inside knowledge on when they might, bring Bieber back. But, I think that's kind of the path he's on right now.
Is John Means, who they signed as a free agent, is he in any kind of a similar situation? And would you expect him to be in the rotation if he comes back healthy and is good to go?
I think he's behind. He's behind Bieber. Bieber had his Tommy John last year in April. I think Means had his in June. So he's he's a little behind. I would think if he can help, it'll be after the break, Jeff.
Good to know. That gives him plenty of opportunity for find out maybe somebody else who can step up. Is there a guy in AAA? Is it Nick Hazy? Is it Dion? There's some other guys, left-handers in AAA, Hoynesy. Who do you think's high on their radar? Ciccone's getting the chance right now.
Yeah, I like Nick Hazy. I really liked him in spring training. I know he came up and kind of stubbed his toe against Boston in that doubleheader, but I like the way he pitches. Dion had a really good camp. And Vasquez, kind of the veteran guy, Vince Vasquez,
from Philly,
who they brought up and they DFA'd and he accepted the outright. I think that's a guy that might help them too.
Hoynesy, I just backtrack here for a second before we let you go. That Red series, was it awkward with Terry Francona or was it just kind of okay? I know you went through spring training there too, kind of around the same thing, but you finally had a series there and I'm not going to lie, and I asked these guys, and they were kind of like, I don't know. But Cincinnati seemed very, very excited about every run they scored in that series. Maybe it's the lure of the cup.
Yeah, I think so. And Will Benson didn't hurt them at all.
No. The Will Benson revenge tour, Hoynesy.
I think we know who has the inside track on the MVP for the Ohio Cup is.
Yes.
I mean, this guy, I couldn't believe. I mean, he had four home runs.
Four homers in 3 games.
And they were all off the same pitch, it looked like to me. I mean, they knew they could get him out fastballs high and breaking balls low, and they kept throwing sliders right over the middle of the plate. So I'm not sure how that strategy worked. But, Benson had a great series. And Tito, I think it was okay with Tito. I really do. I think, they had a great series. Tito kind of slipped those two lefties in there. Suter in the opener on Saturday, and then Abbott on Sunday. And Cleveland really hadn't faced a lot of left-handed starters. And, so that was a little strategy on Tito's part, I think.
It worked out for him. Hoynesy, as always, we love talking to you. Have a good holiday weekend, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, guys.